In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy on ABC Radio Australia.
Yeah, malolele and welcome everyone to Niche and Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes and with me this week is not my usual Cook Island Koi, Tinito Aruna. I have the man himself off the bench every single time, ready to answer the call. Will Hopuate to talk all things rugby league and rugby union from across the Pacific. Will, how are you, bro?
Oh, good, Sammy. Thanks for having me back on. T's on another holiday.
He is. We haven't had as many holidays this year.
I know.
But T's up at Magic Round for the NRL. Obviously, a big occasion. We will get through that. But I just always appreciate every time I message you and I go, hey, Will, are you good for this date? You're just always free. But you've got like 100 kids. You got four jobs, but you're always free.
It's because I see the name Sam Wykes. I'm like, I got you, doggo.
I appreciate that. You've always got me. And obviously, we have a big show planned. What have we got today?
We do. Well, on the show today, we've got our regulars, Salah and Nems. We will hear from and catch up with them to see how they're going. We'll review last night's Origin. Come on, the Blues.
Yes, the Blues.
Wrapping up the series 2-0 and a win up there in Suncorp. Never easy. And so we'll go through that. We'll look ahead to Magic Round. Hopefully we've got some magical things happening up there at Suncorp Stadium. And then we'll look into the greatest game of all, Sammy. Rugby. Is that right?
I feel like I've converted you a little bit.
Hey, I've gone to a few TARS games.
I know. And again, when I think about some of my favourite messages I get, it's Will Hopuate. Okay, what's he up to? And it's a photo of him and his son in a Wallabies jersey, in a TARS jersey, at a rugby game. I was like, yes, he is planting the seed. That's but let's kick things off. Let's get into the show.
My name is Ali Kator, and I'm listening to Nissan Footy.
All right, bro. We are going to start off with rugby league, and it is Magic Round, and we will check in with Salah for the Origin game. It went down to the wire, but yeah, the Blues got the job done and wrap up the series. But firstly, Will, what have you been up to? Oh, like you're a father of how many now? 100? You're catching up to the old man.
No way.
But so you do have a 6-month-old.
I've got a 6-month-old, yep. I've got six kids, so they're keeping me busy, so thanks for having me on. You actually do me a favour.
You got away, yeah, so I gave you an excuse.
Yeah. So that's why I'm always free. I'm not actually, but I just say yes because I get to get away from the house.
And nah, so. I love that. I absolutely love it. And obviously, you're an ex-Manly player, and I want, while you're here, I was actually keen to ask you about, you know, Lehigh's playing for Manly. They had a rough start to the season, but they look like finals contenders now. You've played with Foz. You know, as in Kieran Foran?
Yep.
You know, has this surprised you how well he's gone straight away off the bat being a head coach?
Well, a bit of both, really, because it was sort of the unknown for him, right? He'd been I think people sometimes forget he just finished playing last November straight into an assistant role, which, you know, was only 4 or 5 months in head coaching role. And so I think it's the fastest progression for a coach. And honestly, Foz as a person, you speak with anyone, everyone speaks highly of him just because he's genuine and he's an all-around good bloke. And you combine that with his footy IQ and footy experience, it's no surprise why the team's doing well. And really, you can't really... Well, he hasn't changed the roster. Structurally, you can't really change things in a week or two. And just goes to show that he's got the locker room, right?
Yeah.
And so I think people forget that connection and wanting to play for a coach goes a long way in bringing success. It's not just, you know, the skills and the intent that you go into a game. It's the connection and how united the group is. And within the space of a week, he had the locker room. And speaking to some of the Manly players, and, you know, I bumped into Foz himself down in Manly, and he's just being himself. He's not trying to, you know, copy Seabold or copy Dez. He's obviously learnt a number of things from the coaches he's played with, but he's got the good things from them and, you know, added his own vibe. And you can see the players just enjoy playing for one another and playing for him.
When I think about coaches and then the way that they deliver messages, and it's probably like actually having been a parent, you know. One parent might have, you know, be saying the same thing over and over. It's usually the mum saying things over and over, and dad comes in and says it, and obviously the kids go and do it. But, you know, for him, why does his words have so much weight, the way he delivers those messages?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is he's lived it.
Yeah.
Like he's lived what he speaks. And so I caught up with Jamal Fogarty the other day, and he was saying for him as a half, to have a modern day half giving him advice is huge, right? And it just adds to his confidence. And speaking with Lehigh, he just says he's really just simplified the game for the players, because as players, especially, you know, the more complicated you make things mentally, the harder it is. And so he's, you know, when he has his coaches chat minutes before they run out, it's just one or two things he wants them to focus on. Just go after that.
Yeah, let the players play.
And let the players play. And most of the things are focused around effort-based areas. He's not expecting you to, you know, score amazing tries and make these line breaks. They're things that are effort-based, like a kick chase or a tying in from marker. Things that anyone can do, really.
Yeah.
That just requires effort and not talent that he focuses on.
And that, when you add effort and you have that intent and that attitude, that's when the amazing tries do happen.
That's right.
You know, that's right.
It comes off the back of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's evident. And just seeing how Molly absolutely dominate on those edges now, and they look like a happy football side. So it's pretty cool to see that from the outside looking in. And then we've just had the news of Ivan Cleary deciding that he's no longer going to coach in the NRL beyond next season.
Yeah.
And you look at some of the – I was just thinking about it the other day – you're looking at the household names of coaches, you know, that we've heard for so long, Bellamy, Bennett, Cleary, those type of ones, Flanagan to a certain degree. It's like there's a new wave of coaches. We're going to be hearing the new household names. And do you believe that Foz is going to be that household name now? We will be talking in 10 years' time. He's going on a dynasty or doing some amazing things.
Yeah, well, it's hard to think not to with the way that he's going. And knowing through what he's been through, obviously in rugby league or in sport, it's a roller coaster, right? You have your ups and you have your downs, but I think what he's been through in his personal life will definitely help him through when challenging times come, so that he can ride the highs longer.
Oh, mate, I appreciate your insights there, bro. And finally, actually, I've been following one of your sister's social posts about your family, shenanigans that goes on.
Like your chaos.
They're chaos.
Yeah.
Mate, your mum is hilarious. She's the main character. I always thought your dad was the main character, but your mum is hilarious. And that clip where they put up, I think she was like, whose mahi was that? Whose undies were those? Were they yours?
Thankfully not. They weren't mine.
For those out there, get to the social media pages of the Hopewadne family, and their mum is doing the washing, and it's the biggest holes in someone's undies in the family.
It's our cousin.
Is it your cousin? Throw him under the bus.
Yeah. He lives there, and so, mate.
She's like, how do you wear this? What does this do?
Yeah.
Like, it's the biggest holes. It was like the same hole as the leg. Exactly. unreal, bro. But, hey, Magic Round happening. You know, we kicked things off last night with the Origin. But for the NRL, man, who are you looking forward to watching here?
Yeah, well, I think tonight's game, Rabbitohs and Dolphins. Latrell Mitchell's back. Dolphins coming off a good win last week. And they're both fight. Well, Rabbitohs are hoping to win to stay in the top four, and Dolphins are trying to claw their way into the eight. And so there's a lot riding on this game. And again, with your cousin, our good mate Isaiah, we need him to carry the four tonight.
Need him to fire. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Have you played at Magic Round before?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. What's the vibe up like up there, like in preparation? So how different is it to your normal NRL prep?
Yeah, well, it is. It is an experience. I mean, for the fans, it's a magical experience, right? Especially you think if you're a kid and you idolize players, you get to see them all in one stadium. in a weekend. And so there's definitely a vibe up in Brisbane. And it's a bit different as players because you stay in the hotel with other teams as well. And so you're coming across other players. Obviously, the NRL do it, so you're not in the same hotel as the team you're versing, but you're in the hotels with other teams, and so it's good to rub shoulders with other players and mix with, you know, boys you might have played with in the juniors you haven't seen in a bit,
yeah,
that are other teams. And so in that aspect, it's good to catch up with other players. And so it can be good off-field, but it can be distracting.
I was going to say, what do the coaches say to the players around preparation before you head to Brisbane? Because I'm only assuming that, like, hey, get in your rooms, stop hanging around the foyer, those types of chats. What is it like?
I imagine, well, from experience that the coaches I've had, and I imagine, you know, it'd be similar today that, yes, you know, we go up, enjoy the occasion, enjoy the experience, catch up with family, but the main reason we're going up there is to collect 2 points,
yep,
right? And so the coaches are really trying to hammer that message home that, yes, there's other things, but don't get distracted from the real reason why we're going up.
Yeah. That's the win. You're not wrong. And just staying on that Bunnies and Dolphins game. It looks like it's going to be tough conditions there. It looks like it's going to be wet, mm-hmm, heavy. You know, what's important around, you know, if the Finns are to get the job done, what does Isaiah need to do?
Well, I think if the Finns are to get the job done, it's more so their defense, right? Because they're a team that can score anywhere at any time and can score back-to-back-to-back in a matter of minutes, right? They just have that attacking flair with Isaiah leading that. I think if they are to win, they need to try and limit the spark that the Rabbitohs have, trying to limit, obviously, Latrell Mitchell's impact and taking away time and space from Cody Walker so he doesn't pull him apart. And so defensively, I think that's their main focus. And I know Wolfie, as a coach, been coached under him before, he'd be trying to hammer that home, is winning the ruck and limiting leaking points. I think that's sort of been their issue this year so far.
And we haven't had you on since the new rules. Like, what have you made of the changes?
Well, I feel like it's be very hard for defensive-minded coaches to maybe adjust to the new rules because it seems like today 20 points isn't enough to win you a game. Whereas for defensive-minded coaches, that should be more than enough to win you, right? But now they've got to start thinking, all right, we've got to score 30. We've got to score more. And so it's really turned into an attack focus. And a lot of the times, you know, game plans would be kick to the corner and just grind them out. But, you know, with the six agains and the sin binning for high tackles, momentum changes so quick. It's just hard to, you know, which is why I think Melbourne's sort of struggled this.
Because they've always had defence. The Bulldogs as well then.
Yeah.
That's a really good insight.
They're really defence-minded, and because it's open into a more of an attacking game and style of play, I feel like Melbourne and Canterbury, they've found it hard to adjust to the new rules.
That's a really good insight because, you know, all the defensive coaches I've had, and I'm sure that you've had, mm-hmm, mate, they hate when one try is scored.
Exactly, right.
You know, they would love a 6-0 game, if they could. That's 100%, perfect.
Yeah, 100%.
Clean sheet, yeah, whatever. But you're right. And obviously these two teams know how to score points. Dolphins got off to a bit of a slower start, but they're coming back. But the Bunnies, man, they're having a field day on those edges. So looking forward to that one. On the Saturday, your old club up against the Tigers, Manly. Who do you like in this one?
Not just because Leo is there, but I think the Tigers have had back-to-back losses, which has hurt their confidence. And I think Manly, you know, beating Broncos last week, a bit high on confidence. And so in terms of skill and talent, I feel like they're on par. But confidence is something you can't really stat, right? It's more of a internal feel.
There's a belief.
Yeah, that's
right. And it comes from winning.
And it comes from winning, right? Yeah, success breeds success. And so I feel like on the back of that, I feel like Manly would win. But, man, Benji's done good things with the Tigers this year. And they're a team that can, you know, definitely bounce back from back-to-back losses.
How good. Like, you got Benji up against Foz in terms of the coaching battle.
Seriously?
They've come together and played together before. And
Kiwi halves.
Kiwi halves. Like, just the masterminds leading the charge. Absolutely love that. And then we go over to the Sunday game. Which one? There's plenty there. There's three on the Sunday.
Yep.
Panthers, Dragons, Warriors, Broncos, Titans, Knights. You know, there's some quality games there, but which one's standing out?
Well, one that I'm afraid of is Penrith Dragons. I feel like that could be a cricket score. With
unfortunately. Oh, I thought you were going to say there's a smoky with the Dragons. No.
I feel if Panthers score early, it could be a long night for the Dragons. And so hopefully they can
Hopefully the distraction of the news around Ivan deters them a little bit from their preparation.
That's the only thing that could probably work for the Dragons. But the game for Sunday, I think, is the Warriors against the Broncos. Warriors are red hot at the moment. And the Broncos coming off a back loss, but they're the home team at Suncorp.
Yeah,
and so they'll be looking, obviously, to bounce back. But, man, the Warriors, they're playing.
Talk to me about that. Talk to me about Leka Halasuma and Dimitri Vaimonga. Like, what are they like? To me, when I look at them, they look like they're the Bash Brothers and they're just having fun. Something where you can't really coach them. You just got to allow them to be them.
And I think that's exactly what Webby's doing there, is allowing them to be themselves. I think if you try and put too much structure around them, it'll just mess up with their mindset, because all you need to tell them is run hard, tackle hard, boys. Go and do that. And that's what they're doing, right? And then players.
I saw that Vaimonga off the back fence, just that carry.
Seriously.
I was like,
and he's not a big guy.
He's not big?
Nah, he's just powerful. He carries himself well, and they're just skittle players when they run. And they're just, as you said, they're having fun. And you take the fun away from rugby league and make it a chore and job, and that's when struggles come.
Man, I'd hate to be in front of those two, but yeah, just he goes, and then the next one goes, and then you've got Big Fish.
Yeah, off the back. Yeah, it's just like, yeah.
No, thank you. So in that one, who are you liking there, the Bronx or the Wars?
I'm actually going to go the Warriors, just for their current form. Okay. The last four. The Broncos just weren't them last week. You know, Manly obviously played well, but they just, the way they weren't completing their sets, and I'm not sure what's going on within the four walls there, but I like the Warriors and how they've been playing.
I like the Warriors. Do you know what I like about you? You're very honest with your selection. So come our lock and smoke tipping, I've got a bit more of a plan on what I want to do here. So I appreciate that. T gives me nothing on this. So
I wonder why he's winning.
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason why. But he's getting the union ones right and I'm wrong. So I don't know. I don't know what's actually happening. But remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. That's it for Rugby League. Let's jump across to Rugby Union.
Want the latest Pacific Rugby League and Union news and interviews with stars of the game? Tune in to Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tini Rao Arona.
De Brisini.
De Brisini. Fun fact, he's Cook Islander.
He's a Cook Islander, yeah, man.
How do you get that? I couldn't even say his last name.
Nation Footy, Monday afternoons at 4 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello guys, this is Isol Nasilasila from the Fijian Drua, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Yeah, the Drua, they're up against the Tars. This week, first game in Suva, but we're going to start with Billy Vulipola. I saw him saying that he's not going to make himself eligible to play for Tonga at the 2027 Rugby World Cup because his last test match for England would have been, you know, over 3 years ago, so he would have been eligible to play for Tonga. But he came out and said that he has decided not to represent Tonga, and I when I heard his reasons why, it was very well thought out, and I thought it was a very good reason why.
What were they?
He was just saying he didn't want to deny any young Tongan an opportunity to represent Tonga.
Mm.
You know, he's 33 years of age, so next year he'll be 34.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like it didn't feel right for him to deny someone that opportunity, and I thought that was very noble of him.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen him in the red jersey and see him represent Tonga like that, but it got me actually thinking as well, and I brought it up a couple of weeks ago, just the eligibility rules around test match footy for rugby union compared to rugby league. You know, the freedom that I've been able to see, you know, guys like yourself, guys like Jerome, Critter, those type of players being able to represent multiple
nations,
teams and nations, you know, and just having that freedom. And it hasn't, I think there was this notion that it would ruin the spectacle because it's sort of like, oh, how can you just keep bouncing around? You're not going to show the same amount of love for this team compared to that team. You're not going to care as much. But it's done the opposite in rugby league. Like, absolutely, it's grown so much to a point where rugby league had to change the eligibility rules because I would say the biggest product, State of Origin, would have suffered because of the boys going, you know what, if you're forcing me to choose between playing for Samoa, playing for Tonga, playing for the Kiwis, and play Origin, well, I'm going to do what my heart says. Mm. And then you'd have more people moving towards the other teams. But now there's a bit more freedom and flexibility. So when I saw that, I thought, man, absolutely love it, but I still think that rugby should be changing the eligibility rules so that he doesn't have to make a decision at the age of 34. He could have made it ages ago.
Yeah. Are you thinking it should be similar?
Absolutely, it should be.
I feel like it would only add to the game, right, into the product.
Why would you want your best players sitting at home during a World Cup year?
Exactly. You want your best players on the biggest stage.
So, like, again, even if, say, for instance, and I hate that I'm going to put this as a point, but say, for instance, that if the Tier 1 nations, you know, got first pick and Billy or one of those players didn't make, you know, the All Blacks or England or Australia, it should be automatic, I can go.
100%.
There should be no restrictions.
No way. Why?
But what's the downside?
Yeah, why?
Because then you come to those pool matches and then you go, oh, wow, okay, this side is still stacked.
Yeah.
This player will probably have a point to prove now because they didn't make that team. And I don't think, there could be some backlash and they say, oh, it's second choice. You're doing it as a second choice. Like, nah, just get rid of that narrative.
Yeah.
And just go, at the end of the day, look, there's a lot on the line. People want to play for the Tier 1 nations because you get more test matches.
Yeah.
But if not, well, you get the benefit as well of having other players. Like, in your experience, what's the narrative like now around when players have to choose and say, like, you know, if someone doesn't choose one or the other and they go, oh, we're just doing this for a second choice?
No, well,
has it changed a bit now?
I mean, personally, and I feel like a number of the players feel the same way. They think it's a good thing. It's sort of, you're like asking someone to, who do you love more, your mum or dad? It's just like, I love them both. Like, why can't I represent them both, right? And so, example last year was Keon Kolomatangi.
Yeah.
He's played for us. He's played for us in the World Cup. But he wanted to play for Australia. He's a mascot junior. New South Wales, born and raised, right? He's mascot as they come. And, like the boys were messaging him. I messaged him saying, man, congrats. Like, you get to represent the Kangaroos. That's an honour too.
Yes.
Like, let's not look at it as like, oh, you dogged us.
Yeah.
Like, man, you get to represent Australia, which you haven't before.
Yeah.
So, good on you, man. And you got to play in an Ashes series against England over there, like, which happens, what, every once in a while?
Yeah, so, what an experience. And in today's world, we have the freedom of choice.
Mm.
There's 100 streaming apps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's 100 cafes. Like, it's not like back in the day where we were limited to choices. And so that psyche has now come into the players when they make decisions.
That's right. Yeah,
and we have to accept the fact. And I actually love the fact that there's more choice out there. But as long as the players communicate that, you know, we're with the coaches.
Yeah.
And just clear and direct, say, hey, look, I understand you want to choose me, but I'm actually going to go down this path. So hopefully the higher powers to be are listening to Nijan Footy, you know, and understand that the people want to see their stars.
Sam Wykes for Prime Minister.
Get me up there. all good. Too many bones in the closet for my campaign. So, yeah, I wouldn't be able to have a good campaign and run for that. But we'll go to Super Rugby now, round 14. One, I have the bye this week, and the Drew, as I mentioned before, will take on the Waratahs in Suva, and we'll chat to Nems about that game. Chiefs Highlanders kick things off on the Friday. Blues Hurricanes, this will be a huge game on Saturday. And there'll be the old rivalry between the Force and the Reds to wrap up round 14. And the reason why there's a big rivalry between the Force and the Reds, when the Force came in, they took a lot of the Reds players, like Nathan Sharp. David Pocock.
Okay, I actually didn't realize
there's a lot of history there. And then it was a pretty big grudge match.
Okay.
And I remember 1 year. So our head coach at the time was Richard Graham.
Yep.
And he was with the Western Force. And then he jumped ship to the Reds while he was still coaching us. And part of his press conference was saying he wanted to go to a more established team that had more success. Okay. Burnt the boys.
Oh.
When he delivered it to the
While he was coach?
While he was coaching us. And so that was in his press conference. And then he's come to our team meeting and
I'm
a nice guy, so I'm the only, I don't like to burn bridges. Yeah. But after he gave his speech to say that he's going to the Reds, the players got up and walked past him, didn't even look at him, acknowledge him. Shook his hand, I was like, "Oh, the best, mate," left him out. So it was only me and Nick Cummins were the only two that shook his hand to say like that. Richard Brown, who was our number eight at the time, he's just, everything's black and white to him. And he just looked at me and goes, "How could you shake that bloke's hand?" And I was like, "Oh, sorry, man. I'm just, I'm trying to get selected this week." But then I remember the following year, Michael Foley, our coach then, when we played against the Reds, that's all he showed. For the he played that press conference as his clip,
as the hype up for the
boys. Didn't say anything about our game plan. It just played the clip, and he goes, "He's gone to a better club, eh, boys? Let's go out and train." Oh, we fizzed, and we actually had a good run against them there for a little bit. So yeah, I love those battles against the Reds. So really good rivalry. But I just want to touch on the Hurricanes, mate. They are looking sharp, mate. They are leading the competition with most tries, most line breaks, most defenders. Oh, second most defenders beaten, second highest for offloading team.
Holy!
And the thing is, they are eighth for total carries. So they're not really a high phase team. So when you think about the way, like Corey Jane, their coach, man, like he's one of the greatest All Black wingers ever. Man, he's high energy, loves to play off turnover, loves to play off the cuff. So he has a framework, but he wants players to light it up. And you look at their winger, Fehi Fine Anganofo. Man, he is leading the competition with 15 tries. The way they get him into the game and the way he positions himself to be able to have an impact, that's what they're feeding off. They don't really care if they're not getting 22 phases or anything like that and then hopefully scoring a pick and go try. They're actually chancing their arm. They're getting their kick balance right, plugging the corners, playing the right pass. But when their team kicks it back, if they can get to the 40 on a kick return, say, or 40 or halfway, right there, they're lighting it up. They've got numbers in the backfield, and it's very, very hard to stop.
Has he had a cap for him?
He's gone overseas after this.
Oh.
So, that again, New Zealand and Australia are in this pickle around how do you keep your best talent? And it's very hard at the moment.
Yeah.
But I spoke to Corey Jane, their coach, after they lost to the Drua.
Yeah.
And it was a big lesson for me around coaching and preparation. So when they played against the Drua and they lost, so the Drua beat them in Fiji.
Yep.
They were still trying to play that expansive style of football. And the Hurricanes were just getting frustrated. And everyone, like, if you go, we're so used to saying, play to the conditions. The conditions.
Yeah.
Tighten up. But when I spoke to Corey Jane, he goes, "Nah, mate, we need to practice our game under every type of condition."
Yeah, right.
We're not here to win every game.
Yeah.
We're here to be hissing at the back end of the season. So he goes, "Mate, how many teams have ever gone undefeated and won the grand final?"
Yeah.
Not many.
Yeah.
So you've got to test your game and be unapologetic under any conditions on how you want to play. Rightly or wrongly so. Like, I actually love that mindset.
That is. Well, they're sticking to their identity, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're not changing for anyone. And I think about South Africa, I was like, bro, that's their identity around set piece.
Yeah.
And when the teams that are probably struggling at the moment, they're trying to do a bit of this, bit of that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, wow, I really love that mindset, and there's a reason why they're at the top. So, look, this is going to be a big game. Hurricanes on top. The Blues are looking to stay in the top four, and with only a couple of rounds to go after this one, the Hurricanes are looking pretty to probably take this out. So, looking forward to the end of Super Rugby. Some great games to come, and we'll see what happens. When we talk to NEMS and see how the Drua, see if they can make a charge, have a mathematical chance of getting into the top six. But before we get to him, let's get over to Salah Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Salah Tongatuki.
Yes, it's time to get to Salah Tongatuki, our rugby league superstar in the NRLW. And I'm sure she's on a high still after that game last night with the Blues, wrapping up the series. Salah, how are you feeling?
Yes, sir.
How are you feeling? I'm sure you... How are the calves, actually? I reckon you would have been jumping up and down a lot last night.
Oh, I was so stoked, hey. Girls got back-to-back and keeping our shield in the best state. So, yeah, I was cheering. Yeah, I was so happy for them.
Leona Peters. Oh, is she over? Oh, is she over the touchline? Referee Belinda Sharp says, try! Try the Jasmine Peters. State of Origin, mwah, we love you.
Watching the replay.
Oh,
no try. I think she's great. Have to get a head on shotty.
Tegan Berry, mate. Oh, she's out for sure. How did they get that wrong? Tegan Berry has saved the day and won the series for New South Wales.
We'll have a decision.
No try. The Blues are going to win 14-10 with 24 seconds to go.
What did you think about the maybe the series? Obviously, we've wrapped up the series.
I know that the girls, we want to go one better than last year. We'll hoping to obviously get all three games and... They call it the blue wash. Get a clean sweep.
Ooh, so the blue wash.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, that might stick.
That'll stick.
That might stick, I reckon. Like honestly, like last night's game, man, there was a lot of errors, but they stuck on top of it. Their defense was just on and they wanted it more and they just stayed composed to the end. So, super stoked that they got the win and sealed it up the series. But, I know that they're not going to settle for just two. They want the three. So, that's what we're going for this year.
Yeah, it was tough conditions out there. But do you think as well the pressure of the game led to a few mistakes, a little bit of nerves out there and the pressure applied from both teams were like, some defensive efforts. It's like, holy, there were some big hits and some moments where it was just turning. Do you think that had a big part of some of the errors?
Yeah, I feel like wet weather footy completely changes the way teams want to play, and I actually thought both teams still completed really hard physically despite the conditions. But yeah, I feel like sometimes they went away from their game plan as well. I felt like what stuck for probably both sides, if they went just direct and hard straight through the middle, they were making easy meters and that. But as soon as we started going sideways and you're just easy to take out, you're not going to have a good chance of obviously going forward. So yeah, I feel like, Queensland looked their best when they went direct, like I said. In weather like that, you don't really want to be overplaying your hand or shifting sideways. The Queensland were probably getting over the advantage line and earning quick play of the boards, which probably kept them in the game a bit longer, to be honest, even though they defended a fair bit. They also bombed a couple of their opportunities to hopefully bring it, ice the game to a goal point. It was just that last try that Jasmine.
What point did you call it? Gold point.
Is it a golden point? Gold point or something?
Yes, the gold point. That's got to stick as well.
Holy egger. Yeah, sorry guys. Golden point.
Well, I think as well as like you mentioned, they bombed a few tries, but I think the Blues caused them to bomb some tries too. We've seen some wonderful try savers, Southwell saving that try, and even right down to the end, right, the last minute of the game where Queensland could have, drew it, but in the corner, defensive tackle made on the edge there. And is that what I'm sure Strange would be very pleased with that?
Nah, 100%. That's what Origin's all about, is those effort areas. And he harped on it in the Origin preps with our training blocks, those are little key moments that's what it's going to come down to. And he done a lot of scenarios as well. It wasn't just a field goal kind of scenarios at trainings we did. It was also just, trying to do those corner dives and just the inside push and just working for each other. That's what they wanted in that game, and they did it so well. But, definitely Jessie Southwell, she came up with a huge defense key moment there for them. But then to back it up was Tegan Berry's effort. It could have changed the game either way if they hadn't done those. So, it was really good.
I want to take you back to some of those scenarios. Obviously, there's a long build-up, 6 weeks or so of training really hard for three games of footy. What what was probably one of the scenarios or themes that you had in preparation that probably really stood out to say that, oh, this is why we did it, this is how we connected, and it's why we got the result. Is there anything that stand out for you in your preparation?
Yeah, it was just the fitness.
Like, just the dark places.
just the dark places. It's so true. Like, we were lucky, like, we had a really good head of performance. He showed us, like, you know, this block will always be your mass running or this and that. Like, each session we knew what we were coming into. But then, like, at the end of all those sessions, we'll do a tough con block. So then we'll go into our scenarios, plays or a block of scenarios. And that was when we were best conditioned, when we were under fatigue and trying to figure everything out under fatigue, those scenario blocks. It wasn't just we'll just walk it through and, you know, we're just going to make sure you remember these moments. But it's a key moment. It's like your memory and that, like, it's when you're under fatigue, you start forgetting a lot of your fundamentals and a lot of simple stuff in footy. So, yeah, I feel like that stood out for us in our preparation as a group, was just, you know, doing a lot of conditioning and that, making sure we're under fatigue to then do a lot of our footy learnings under fatigue. That's when we best, yeah. I saw that in the girls last night.
So that was all at the back end of the session. So you do the session plan, so you do a block and then you do a fitness block and then do your scenario.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We would always come off the back of a conditioning, like, yeah, to then do our scenarios and that. Yeah, I don't remember. Probably the first week, we just probably walked through it. After that, we just knew what the standards were. And luckily, like, we had the same group. A lot of them were the same group of girls from last year. So we didn't have to walk through a lot of things anymore. We just knew what we were coming into. 6 weeks, it was just hard work. Mm. And, yeah, the best of the best got picked out of that. And those girls just showcased a really good game of footy last night.
I love the messaging around that with fitness. I always try and tell my younger siblings and families that, man, footy is a lot more fun when you're fit, right? Because you just effort on effort, you can do it, you can get around the park a bit better, and it's good to see and hear that, you know, women and athletes at the top of their game, Origin, are still doing that. And so I think that's a great message for all young
Legion
athletes.
It makes sense why the game went down to the wire. Yeah, both teams would have been super fit and practicing for those scenarios right at the band. And you've been there. So your muscle memory of being there at training, this is what you train for.
Yeah.
This is why we are in this position now. And I absolutely love that. And if you don't want to be fit, go do the Run It Straight Challenge. just do your one-off effort and that's it. Man, how good's that?
Yeah,
but it's a massive difference. I think this year, this is the first time Queensland has actually done a 6 week preparation block as well.
Mm.
Last year, they didn't. They just, I think they were still playing in the BMD competition, a couple of the girls. They didn't do much of the, you know, get together camps and that. So it showed the difference of our games last year to this year. Like, it's heaps closer, the score and that. And, like, it's just because both sides are fit. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and definitely no coincidence around that. I love you mentioned before about you're going for the blue wash. I love the mindset around that. Even though, obviously, the series is wrapped up, you're not sort of, you know, dipping your toes in the water with this last game. You girls actually want to win it. Do you think, with Strangey being coach, you think there'll be any different messaging, or will it be the same? What do you think will be for this next game?
Oh, obviously there'll be a couple of the girls with some of their performances, they want to be happy, even though they should be, because they won. But I know that Strangey, he just speaks a lot of belief in the girls. There's no point. Oh, and actually, like, well, you can expect some changes, like, from starting and on the benches. Like, it's already happened from game one to game two. And even though game three last year, we did lose it to Queensland. It was a massive, it was a big loss as well. You know, considering that we were dominating game one and game two. And you sort of get carried away. There's a difference of confidence and cocky. And he spoke that to us, and it was too late. We got that talk from him. And obviously this year he said, you know, if I could take back time, you know, from game three's team, he would have made some changes. Just because of the effort, some of the players that were giving in that game, and, you know, that they gave it in the games one and two, but I feel like they got complacent and didn't give it enough in game three, and hence why Queensland had rolled us last year. So, yeah, it'd be interesting who he goes with for game three. And, yeah, probably give a good shout-out to our girl Rima Butler, who also came off the bench and debuted for the Blues. Long time waiting for her's return from having a kid, and her kid's obviously now 6 years old, and yeah, she's like waited for this time to obviously shine on the big stage, one of her dreams. So yeah, pretty cool.
And she killed it in the middle as well, some of her carries.
She did.
Man, how good.
Yeah.
Sal, I know you've been part of the preparations, and obviously, you're very happy that you got the series won, but what's this done for you around watching that and that, the fire in the belly? How's that been for yourself to, you know, want to get back out there?
Yeah, obviously, I've been working hard in our preseason with the Tigers, and I've gone back to the drawing board. I've done a lot of videos with my coach, and he's just been really good for me, my coach at Tiger Sandy, and just been putting a lot of things apart, and I've just been doing a fair bit of top up and that. I don't want to outburn myself too early. That's a bit cruel on myself. So yeah, just taking it bit by bit, whatever I can control in my controllables. And yeah, I'm a big believer of, you know, of good karma, and I only wish the best in that for this group of girls that are obviously representing our state. And I just got to keep my head down and keep working hard. And if it's God's plan, if I'm in there, I'm in there next year. If not, I'm sure there's a lot more to life than just footy. So, yeah, there is a fire in my belly burning, but it's a good one where I'm sort of content, with, like, what's happened for me. I've got a lot going on away from the footy, so I'm just dealing with that as best as I can. And yeah, my support network's been awesome for me around me, at just not footy but also at home. So I'm going good, like I'm great with how training's going as well. So
love your outlook, Sella. Love your outlook and your attitude, and I'd love nothing more to see you in a Blues jersey in that game three game. So I'll give Strangey a call. Can I have his number? Will, please. Get my girl out there. How good. But before we wrap it up, it is Magic Round. I believe you've got your eye on the Chooks and Cowboys game. Yes. Who are you? Who's the lock for you for this one? Because I need some help for my tipping comp. But yeah, why do you like this game as well?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game. I feel like that has a lot of quality matchups all over the field. For me, and both teams have players that can change a game really quickly. So a player I'd be probably keen to keep an eye on is Sam Walker. When he's confident and taking control, I feel like the Roosters look really dangerous. But yeah, for the Cowboys, just Reuben Cotter. I feel like if he's injected early and he does what he does best, he's massive through the middle. His work rate, leadership, it doesn't go unnoticed. Probably based on form, I'm going to lean towards the Roosters. Their spine looks like it's building nicely, and they just seem more settled in big moments. But if Cowboys can probably win the middle and, like I said, early and get momentum, they can probably make it defensively tough for the Roosters. So, yeah, I feel like it's one of those games that could go down to the wire as well tonight. Not tonight, but when they play. So, yeah, going to the Roosters.
Beautiful. Sala, you're a legend. Appreciate your time. We look forward to checking in again next week.
Thanks, Sala.
Thanks,
boys. The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Oh, this is unreal. Yes, we are supposed to have our big Fijian man, Nemani Nondolo Kurindrani, on to give us the rundown on what's happening in Fiji around Rugby Union, especially the Drua. But he was in Kiribati, actually, for his other work, because he wears multiple hats. But have a listen to this voice note he sends us right now about his experience at the Kiribati airport. Unbelievable.
So here I am, lads, in the plane now. I was in immigration because they didn't believe my name. And then they were like, oh, no, this is not right. We can't let you on. I said, oh, but I'm going back to Fiji. And they're like, have you got any other proof? And I did the old Google search. And they're like, oh, okay. This one, you look skinny here.
And then it goes into...
I'm sitting in the plane, drenched. Like, my shirt is drenched. My shorts, I decided to wear light khaki shorts. And you can see the sweat man, the joys get me out of here.
Oh, how good is that? So, yes, Nems would have been sitting at the Kiribati immigration trying to get some internet to say, Google me. I am a big deal and I need to get to a show.
Or well, lucky for Google.
Lucky. And to say that, no, this can't be you. You look skinny here. How good. Well, I'm sure when he checks in with us next week, it's going to be one great story on his experience in Kiribati. How good's that? But we do have the Drua. They are coming off a bye. Will last week, so they'll be nice and fresh, but they take on the Tars coming where is this first time in Suva for this year as well, and I believe this is their last home game as well for the year with only a couple of rounds left. But you've gone to a Tars game, haven't you? Gone to a few?
I've gone to a couple of Tars game here at Allianz Stadium. The ones I've gone to, they started the year off red hot, right?
I'm keen for your take on this, man. Just your rugby league lens. I know 100% it'll be better than T's one, but to me.
Yes, well, so I took my son to a Tars game. I said, come on, son, let's get a bit of rugby in our blood system. It's all league. And so my mate Sammy Wykes has, you know, injected us with a bit of rugby power. And so I took him to a Tars game. They won round one against the Reds. So my son's like, let's get a jersey, Dad, and a hat and a flag. And so,
son, it's $200.
And so I was like, all right, let's do it. They started off red hot and we're still backing them. But it's been a tough season. They obviously play the Drua tomorrow. What are your thoughts, Sammy?
Well, to be honest, I think they should be red hot favourites for this one. The Drua.
Okay.
The Drua. I just think with their last home game, their first game in Suva for the year, I feel like they're coming off, three wins out of the last four for them. And, you know, with the Waratahs, you know, eight changes to their lineup. I think there's about 160 test caps of experience not in the Waratahs. No Jake Gordon, who takes up a bulk of those caps. And I feel like the Drua just have a mathematical chance of sneaking into the top six. So this is 8th v 9th, the Drua 9th.
So that's a driving factor for them
too. I think it's a driving factor. And the Tars have got some injuries, you know, and I actually love that the fact there's one of the young boys coming off the bench making his debut, Oniti Finau, young Tongan boy, who will come in at hooker because Falau Fainga'a is out injured. Moananu will start at hooker. But I think where the Drua are at the moment, they look like they're in a happy place. I think there was a bit. It seemed like they were a bit stressed early on in the year, and probably why I say that. I think for the Waratahs, I don't know. It looks like they're playing with a bit of weight on their shoulders. It doesn't look like a happy camp.
Not playing freely.
Playing freely because there's enough talent in that team to be higher up the ladder compared to where they are now.
Yeah,
but they just don't look like they're playing with that freedom. And I remember watching a clip on socials during their bye week.
Yeah.
You know, when they probably had to freshen up and they had to come into this block after the bye week where they needed to win a fair few games and they were bashing each other. Right. They sort of were going, yeah. I just thought, is that the right play? Because then I looked at the Hurricanes, I think it was around the same time, their training session in their team meeting, they're playing this game of how many ping pong balls can you get into a bucket on someone's head.
So one was bashing each other, one was playing ping pong.
And one's up the top of the table and one's down the bottom. So I just think there's doesn't matter if you're winning or learning, you've got to be enjoying your environment. You can't be walking on eggshells. So I'm not too sure how the Waratahs will show up. It's going to be tough, but I believe that the Drua, they're going to get the job done.
And who are some key players you think that'll help them get the job done?
Well, I just think for the Drua, one it's their forward pack. I think when they're tight five, when Nasila Silla and those type of players get on a roll and just make things simple. You said it earlier around Kieran Foran keeping things very simple. I think for the Drua, if they just keep things very simple around winning the collisions, staying connected in defence, letting their back three light up when it's time to play off turnover attack and just do those freakish things that they do so well. I just think, yeah, just let him have fun. Just play. Win the collisions. Mm. Stay connected in defence. Play off turnover attack. Score those tries, and then from there, you'll see unbelievable things. So, I just think that's going to be the key for the draw. And if they're playing with smiles on their faces,
mate,
you know you're in for a long day.
Is any team that can play with flair? It's the flying Fijians, right? Fire up.
There's so many times I think in my career where I feel like I've been palmed off, or one of their big Fijian wingers have, like, you know, been palmed off, but yeah, like laughing. Yeah. And like you're chasing them down this, and you're like, you have this expression on your face, I'm going to get you. And they're laughing and have the fend out. So if they're doing that on Saturday, they're winning that game. But, that's all I'll have for us, because I thought Nems was going to come to the party with a bit more info. Should have been a little bit more prepared, but we'll check in with him again next week. But that's all we have for the Rugby Union Chat.
Smoke! You better lock it up. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke!
Smokey! Here he is. It's the lock and smoke. It's our time to choose a couple of teams that we think is going to be a lock-in, and then that smoky that just upsets the whole round and no one saw it coming except us if we get it right. So T is in front, 9-6, and I love that you're in the hot seat now, Will. No, I've got that wrong. Sorry, I'm looking at the other score update from before. It is 10-8. T is up. So
10-8.
I love that you're in the hot seat, Will, because in previous times you've jumped on the show, like T's actually messaged you and said, hey, these are my picks. Can you say these?
Sorry, T's about to be 12-10 to Sammy after this.
Here we go. Oh, well, firstly, did he message you?
He didn't.
Awesome.
Fair game.
We're off to a good start then. But when we look at the games, who have you got here for a bit of a lock? You can choose anyone from any game from rugby league or rugby union.
All right. Well, I've got Penrith.
Are you going that's a lock. Panthers over the Dragons. That's probably not a bad shout. My lock. There it is. Chick, boom for the Panthers.
I'm
definitely not going to go the Dragons as a smoky. I've tried to give them as much love as possible, the Dragons, and just yet disappointed. But you know what? This week, I don't want to do it because every time I go them, something bad happens. But my lock is the Drua. I'm going on them. I'm getting on them. My lock is the Drua to beat the Tars. And our smoky. Ooh, who are our smokies here, do you think? Eels Storm, are the Eels a smoky? Tigers Manly, are the Tigers a smoky? The Highlanders and Chiefs are probably the Highlanders are the smokies for that one. Dog Sharks, are the Dogs a smoky?
Mm. So I pick a smoky too?
Yeah, you pick a smoky. All right.
I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to go the home team of Magic Round and go the Bronx over the Waz.
Is that a smoky? Yes, that is a great smoky, the Bronx. Can I jump on the same smoke? No, I'm not allowed to do that. The Titans and the Knights. Titans have to be a smoky. Or do they go the Landers? The Landers.
What about the Blues? Canes are on fire, but they're Auckland.
Oh, that's a top four game, though. Still top four.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a smoky.
I'm saying the Blues can be a smoky.
Yeah,
the
Blues
can
be a smoky, but it's at Eden Park.
That's what I mean. Isn't that in their favour? Oh, is it? You can't pick a home team.
Nah. Well, no, I'm just saying home ground advantage. I'm just thinking out loud for the Blues.
Yeah, yeah.
I might leave that one.
Okay.
I like where your head's at. Because that's more of a chance than probably the Titans being the Knights. But can I go to Tigers? Tigers Manly?
That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Tigers, I'm gonna smoke in the...
Benji's bounce back.
Yes, I'm going to smoke in the Tigers to take on Manly and get the job done there. So that's it. That's it, my friend. Will, I've been saying it for a long time now. This needs to be a trio. I'm trying to make it hard for you. Trying to make waves and get you on the show more often because I love having you on. Appreciate
your
time. Love
being here, Sammy. Thank you.
But that's us for Nijan Footy Fridays. Ka kite, tadoksio. And make sure you tell your Pacific loving mates about our Monday and Friday shows. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.